see you back again this evening. As you can tell from the title of the sermon, The Battle with Yourself. You may have heard the old saying, we have met the enemy, and he is us. I'd like to change that just a little bit. I have met the enemy, and he is me. I am battling with myself, and whether you realize it or not, you are battling with yourself. Because the only person that can control me is me. The only person that can control you is you. And with that reality, sometimes we don't do what we should. Even though we have the ability within us, we don't do it. What we're going to be doing in our sermon here this evening, we're going to be studying this battle that's going on within ourselves and seeing exactly what the Scriptures teach us that we need to be doing toward ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 it says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Now, do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you are disqualified? Twice he says in the text here, you examine yourself, you test yourself. And what you're supposed to be examining yourself and testing yourself to determine is whether or not you're in the faith. The way Peter would put it is make your calling and election sure. And that is, you want to make absolutely, positively sure I'm a Christian. And that I am living a life that is pleasing to God. In the last part of the verse, he talks about the possibility of being disqualified. If you don't know what disqualified means, that means you're not going to heaven. You're not receiving the prize. You're not receiving the promise. You're not going to be with God. And so it is possible for someone who has obeyed the gospel to be disqualified. If you're not in the faith, he tells you to test yourself, examine yourself. So this is the very first thing that we've got to do and do it often, daily, often. We've got to take time out and look at ourselves. And examine ourselves to see where we really are. Jeremiah says it this way, in Lamentations, Jeremiah says in chapter 3, verse 40, let us search out and examine our ways. Why? And turn back to the Lord. You see, you're not going to repent and you're not going to change if you don't see the sin. When we examine ourselves, it has to be done honestly. Honestly. Every single one of us have spiritual flaws. We have spiritual weaknesses. And we will never grow spiritually until we can see where we really are. The way it's put over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And you think about this, self-deception. You can actually lie to yourself and believe the lie you're telling yourself. In the context here, the person saying, I have no sin. Everything's fine. Everything's good in my life. I don't have weaknesses. You have them. I have them. You're not going to deal with the weaknesses until you see the weaknesses. That's why it's so important for us to examine ourselves, to test ourselves as to whether or not we're actually in the faith. There are two things involved in that. One, making sure I've actually obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to make sure I'm actually following the teachings of God. When you're examining yourself and testing yourself, you're testing yourself by the standard of the Scriptures to determine whether or not you are living a life that is pleasing to your God. And when you see the sin that is in your life, you deal with it. You turn from it. Nobody is going to repent of sin that they won't face up to. So the very first thing we've got to do when we're examining ourselves is be honest. But as we see here in the text, sometimes people aren't honest with themselves. They just kind of close their eyes and say, everything's okay. Everything's fine. I'm doing good. There's nothing wrong with me. Well, that's not the case at all. James chapter 1, verse 22, says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And hear it again. He says, deceiving yourselves. James puts it this way again in verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So here is someone who thinks he's religious, thinking you're a Christian, thinking everything is fine in your life, but you don't bridle your tongue. You don't control the way you speak. He says about you, you're deceiving yourself. You perceive yourself as being religious. You perceive yourself as being right with God. But what he says here is this one's religion is useless. Useless religion. Does that sound like everything's right with God? Or does that sound like you're disqualified? Someone who has useless religion is disqualified because they're not living it. They're not living the will of God. You've got to be a doer of the Word. It is possible to understand exactly what the will of God is and not do it. So, do you see the battle with yourself? The battle with yourself is to examine yourself continually, daily, to test yourself daily as to whether or not you're in the faith, to whether or not you're actually living the Christian life. It is one thing to know what the will of God is. It's a whole other thing to do it. See where the weaknesses are and deal with them. See where the sins are in our lives and turn from them. Otherwise, our religion is useless. It's useless if it's not real. The other battle with ourself is found over in Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will find it." The denying of self. There is a battle right there in and of itself because of the pride of life. We want to do what we want to do. And if we are going to actually be Christians, there's going to have to come points and times in our life when we're going to say to ourselves, "No, I'm not going to do that. Even though I want to do it, I'm not going to do it. Even though I like doing it, I'm not going to do it." And not do it. To where we're actually denying what we want to do. We're denying ourselves. We're not allowing ourselves to do what it is we want to be doing. But we are submitting ourselves totally to the will of God. That is a battle, folks. It is a continual battle to beat down the self. He says here in verse 25, "Whoever desires to save his life." Now, isn't it just natural and normal to want to save your life? Well, if you do that, you're going to lose it. The one who loses life, and the idea of losing it is you give it up. You give it up as a living sacrifice to God. It's His. It's not yours anymore. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You're going to do what the will of the Lord is. Anyone that tells you that's easy is lying to you. It is a continual battle to beat down self. Going over to Luke on this in Luke 14:26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now this doesn't mean you hate him like, "I hate this person, I can't stand him." No. This is the idea of priorities. That you do not put anybody ahead of God, including yourself. And therein lies the battle. Because we've got to decide, am I going to do what I want to do and what I like doing, or am I going to submit to the will of God? Isaiah describes the problem this way in chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's the problem that I've underlined. Everyone has turned to his own way. We're going to do what we want to do. If you really get down to it, that's what sin is all about. The pride of life to where we're saying, "Okay, I understand what the will of God is. I understand this is sin, but I want to go this way. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go there. And I know this is not the will of God. I understand fully what God's will is for me to do. But I want to do this. And I'm going to do it." That's why all sin has at its very core the pride of life. Being self-willed, being selfish, to where I'm going to do what I want to do, and even though I understand what God's will is, no, I'm not going to go that way. All we have turned everyone to his own way. Therein lies the battle, to beat down the pride of life, to beat down self and deny yourself. I like the way 2 Corinthians puts it. This is a verse I don't use very often, but now I'm going to use it a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer should live no longer for themselves. So right up front, he is telling you why you no longer live for yourself. Why you deny yourself. It's because he died for you. Everything Jesus went through, he went through for you. So your sin could be forgiven. We need to be conscious and aware of what has been done for me. And because he died for me, I should no longer live for myself. But notice the rest of the verse. But for him who died for me, for them and rose again. You're not living for yourself. You're living for the Lord. That means you deny yourself and you do the will of the Lord by faith. Now look at this verse. Let's go back and read it one more time before we go to the next one. He who died for all, is the way the verse begins, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. So you're no longer living for yourself, but for him who died for them and rose again. So you're living for Christ. Now that you see this verse, now look at Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. There it is again. He exists. He's alive physically, but it is no longer Paul who lives. How is that taking place? He says, but Christ lives in me. And then he goes on further and he says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what we're trying to get down to. We're trying to get down to the point to where we deny ourselves and then by faith do the will of the Father in heaven. When we submit to the will of God by faith, it is no longer we who live, but God and Christ living in us. But do you just do it one time? You punch the button and you put it on cruise and everything's fine? Is that the way life is as a Christian? You just put it on cruise and I got this now. I haven't got to work with this battle anymore. I got it. No, that's not the way it is it? Every moment is a battle with yourself to where it is no longer you who live, but Christ living in you. Every moment and every decision is a denial of self and living for Him. Every moment is a battle. It is a battle with yourself to beat yourself down and deny yourself and let His will live through you by faith. And then let's go to the last part of the lesson. Self-control. 2 Peter, in talking about the different Christian attributes that we're supposed to be adding to our faith, says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. And then in talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, Paul speaking to the Holy Spirit says in chapter 5, 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Self-control. It is one of those words that's self-defining. It is controlling yourself. And there's something I learned from the word itself. I am able to control myself. The word would not exist if it was not possible. I can control me. I don't have to sin. I can say no to temptation. I can resist Satan. I can live the Christian life, and I'm expected to do it. What's the opposite of self-control? That's basically just letting yourself go. Because self-control, again, involves a battle. A battle to where you're going to actually carry out in your body what is right. It is one thing to have good intentions. To have wonderful intentions about what you're going to do. Whenever the apostles were there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus told them all that they were going to deny Him. What was their response? No. No, they're not going to deny Him. What was Peter's response? I'll die with you, but I won't deny you. Did they mean that? Yeah, they did. I think every one of them meant it with every fiber of their being. And yet, in just a few hours, every single one of them forsook him. And Peter indeed denied him three times. These are the apostles, folks. Have you ever read that and think, well, I wouldn't have done that? I would have outrun them all. These are the apostles, and if we think we're stronger than them, we are deceiving ourselves. The point I'm trying to make is they had wonderful intentions, but they didn't carry them out. We have wonderful intentions sometimes, but we don't carry them out. It is not enough just to have good intentions. We have to get control of ourselves to where we're actually doing what we are willing to do. Proverbs chapter 23, 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." I want to start with this part of the verse and this part of the sermon because of the importance of the mind. You see, I'm sitting here pointing at my head right now. That's actually being controlled by my mind. These words that are coming out of my mouth, they're being controlled by my mind. Every single thing I'm doing up here is being controlled by my mind. If you're going to have self-control, then we've got to get control of the mind. We have to get control of our thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Get control of even the way you think. You can think sinful thoughts, and just sitting there and thinking them, if it is sinful, we need to rein it in and get control of it and get it out. Look at this over in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Take this phrase and break it down with me. What we're trying to do here is bring every thought. Every thought is not a few thoughts. A lot of your thoughts. Most of your thoughts. It is every thought. Every thought. Into captivity. Controlling what we're thinking. Now let's just stop right there for a moment. We have senses. Five senses. I read this book all the time to my grandson. Five senses. The primary senses through which we take information into the mind is our eyes and our ears. Have you ever heard the old saying, you are what you eat? If someone says, well, I can eat this great big old piece of fat and it's not going to affect me, that's not true, is it? Once it goes, you know, past the mouth, past the gums, it's going to come out in your body. It's there. What you take into your mind is going to affect the way you think. Get control of what you're allowing to go into your eyes and ears. Get control of your televisions and your computers. Get control of what you're setting before your eyes and your senses. Because if you feed the mind garbage, garbage is going to be in your thoughts and ultimately in your actions. To get control of the thoughts, we must control the information. We're feeding the mind, guarding your heart with all diligence. That is a continual process of getting control and guarding what you're letting into the mind. Guard your heart with all diligence because from it spring all the issues of life. Everything you are doing begins with the mind. And so get control of the mind and then you can bring the thoughts into captivity. The way this is described in the scriptures is spiritual mindedness versus carnal mindedness. And that these two are in contradiction to one another. They're fighting against one another. That's describing you. That's describing me. That's the battle within myself. The carnal mindedness and the spiritual mindedness battling one another. And one of the two is going to ultimately dominate. If you feed the mind fleshly information, then carnal mindedness is going to dominate in your thoughts. And you're going to be struggling to obey the will of God and carry out self-control. But if you can become spiritually minded, by feeding the mind rather than garbage, Feed the mind the Scriptures. Feed the mind psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and music. Let your mind be filled with the Word of God. I've asked this question 1,000 times, and I know you know the answer to it. If you take a glass and you fill it with water, what comes out when you turn it sideways? Water. If you fill your heart with the Word of God, what's going to come out in your actions is the will of God. This is being spiritually minded, bringing the thoughts into control. And again, the reason for this is you bring every thought into captivity. The ultimate goal is to the obedience of Christ, to finally, ultimately carry out and do His will in our life. We have to have self-control that begins with the control of the mind. And the way we control the mind is by controlling what we're taking into it. Let's go to the next verse on this. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Here the Apostle Paul again speaking says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." There's that word disqualified again. You remember we read about that earlier at the very first verse? About you examine yourself and test yourself whether or not you're in the faith. Unless you can talk about how Christ Jesus is in you, unless you're disqualified. That's the exact same word that's back there in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Disqualified. And so here the Apostle Paul is talking about himself and what he has to do. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He has to discipline his body and bring his body into subjection. How often did Paul have to do that? Did he do it once, push a button, and he got it from now on? Or do you get from this verse, this was a battle that the Apostle Paul faced often? If the Apostle Paul had a battle to discipline his body and bring it into subjection, you need to realize we have a battle. You're in good company. Every human being has the same battle to bring the body into subjection to where the body is ultimately obeying the will of God in submission to His will with self-control. Because if we do not attain self-control and discipline the body and control the thoughts, we will ultimately end up being, as he says here, disqualified. Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Don't you know Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you're disqualified. If you don't discipline your body and bring it into subjection, you can be disqualified. That means you don't make it to heaven, folks. That is why this sermon is so important. It is getting down to the reality of the battle that we have with ourselves, to examine ourselves, to test ourselves and see where we really are, to deny ourselves and bring ourselves under control to where we're actually doing the will of God by faith. If you're doing the will of God by faith when you examine yourself and you are in the faith, you're doing good. But it doesn't mean it's easy. It means that you're actually engaged in the battle and that you're winning the battle. You're winning the battle with yourself. You see where your weaknesses are and you deal with them. You actually repent when you see the sin that's in your life. And then when you see scriptures that are telling you what to do and you ultimately carry it out and do it, when you're doing the scriptures by faith, it's no longer you who live. It's Christ now living in you. You are now living for the one who loved you and died for you and rose from the dead. You are controlling yourself. You are winning the battle with yourself. But even though you've won the battle with yourself at a moment, is the battle over? No. As long as I am alive, I have to battle with Wayne Fancher Jr. To bring myself into submission to the will of God. To deny myself. To see where I really am. And deal with where I really am. James says in James 1:19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Self-control involves controlling my tongue, getting the bridle on it. Is that an easy thing to do? No, it's not. If you can get the bridle on the tongue, you're doing awesome. You're doing awesome. But if you don't get the bridle on the tongue, your religion is useless. That's why it's so important to see where you really are when it comes to the way you speak. Because you cannot be speaking as a Christian and be disqualified because of it. Getting control of your wrath, getting control of your emotions and your anger to where you don't say and do things that are sinful and destructive when you're upset. Be slow to wrath, slow to speak, disciplining the body, controlling your thoughts. All of that is involved in self-control. And we'll close with James 1:26 again. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Is your religion useless? Are you disqualified when it comes to going to heaven? Are you actually in the faith? Are you doing the will of God by faith? Those are really the big questions, aren't they? And answering them, first be honest. Be honest with yourself. What was it Shakespeare once said? Above all things, my son, to thine own self be true. Don't lie to yourself. We're never going to grow spiritually until we see where we really are. And then when we see where we really are, deal with it. Where repentance is required, deal with it and do it. Doing the Word by faith. Not being a hearer only, but a doer of the Word. To be a doer of the Word, you got to deny yourself and have self-control. To where you're actually now carrying out what God says do by faith. If when you examine yourself, you see someone who's actually engaged in the battle and winning the battle with yourself, to where you're beating down your pride and denying yourself, to where you're actually living the Christian life by faith and you're actually in the faith, when you examine yourself and that's the way you see yourself, because that's the way you really are, folks, you're doing great. Keep on fighting and keep on winning the battle with yourself. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this evening who hasn't become a Christian yet. If you have read the gospel or heard it preached, and you actually believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you realize you died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. If you believe this, and this is your faith, be willing to openly confess that faith. And motivated by your faith, make the commitment to be a Christian as you repent and start doing the will of God by faith in your life. You see, when you make that commitment of repentance, what you're committing to is, by faith, I'm serving Him. I'm going to serve the one and live for the one who died for me. To where it is no longer going to be you who's living. It'll be Christ living in you as you live your life by faith. If you're willing to make that commitment, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the body of Christ. If you're a child of God, and as you examine yourself, you realize there's sin here that I'm struggling with, that I'm losing. And I'm continuing to lose this battle. All right. If you see it, that's good. Now deal with it. Seeing it is one thing. Dealing with it is another. Good intentions is one thing. Doing something about it is another. Don't just have good intentions. Deal with it in reality. By responding. By repenting. By coming back to the Father. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.